Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
We thank you very much for joining us live on CUTV News Radio, everybody. This is Jim Masters, your host. It's a real pleasure to have you with us, and we thank you so very much for being a part of our broadcast today as we welcome everybody all around the world to CUTV News Radio Live. It is 10 a.m. Eastern here at the Broadcast Center, and always a pleasure to also welcome guests from around the world who have unique perspectives and who are amazing at what they do. And through their life's experiences and their wisdom and their perspectives, they share with us techniques, tips, advice, support, help, sometimes just their stories, just telling us what they've been through, what they've experienced, and how it's changed their lives as well. And through all of that, they love to pay it forward. These are folks, experts in their fields of endeavor, but at the same time, a little bit more than just being an expert in their field of endeavor. These are people that are on a mission, the guests we have on CUTV News Radio. These are folks who truly want to make a difference in our world. And that's what I think is one of the wonderful things about the guests we have on our broadcast series. These are folks who truly care about people and care about impacting the world in a positive way and touching the lives of others. Now, somebody who's been doing that in various forms in many amazing ways is our next guest here live on CUTV News Radio. His name is Dr. Marvin Faulkner, and he is based in Kansas City, Missouri. And what an accomplished individual in terms of just being somebody who has really thrust themselves for years in decades work in the medical field, in the healthcare industry. He's a double board certified anesthesiologist and pain management physician. And Dr. Faulkner thought really he understood, you know, working so intensely in that field, that he understood the complexity of pain until personal tragedy actually brought him to the greatest pain any person could ever face. Dr. Faulkner is the author of Letter to God, published in August of 2019, this year, this month, actually last month, and a story of struggling to stay in the light without letting darkness overcome us. Now, we all have days, we all have periods in our lives where the darkness comes in and can overwhelm, can keep us stuck for years. Well, again, with the breadth of experiences that Dr. Faulkner's had just working in the healthcare industry, we were talking just moments before going live on air about all the things he's witnessed just in his career, working with people physically, emotionally, there's from all different angles, and then experiencing things in his own life. His memoir is really of a common person himself, Letter to God. He laid himself out there, the good, the bad, and the ugly of his life, with the overall theme that the power of love can transcend pain. And those are very important words, words he's sharing with us, that the power of love can transcend pain. The book expresses our deeper need for love to surpass the temptation to be bitter despite what life has thrown us, and that we can choose love over bitterness, resentment, remorse, and hatred. Letter to God recounts the passing of Dr. Faulkner's wife from cancer and his family's journey toward emotional and spiritual healing. She was the mother of three children, but they only got 13 years before she was gone. He says suddenly he was a single parent to three children, the toughest job that he ever had, tougher than his military service, tougher than medical school, tougher than being a Golden Glove boxing champ. His vision for the book is really to be a life changer for thousands of people. He thinks it's a powerful message, and it truly is. He found it during a period of intense meditation. There were times he felt like he had some spiritual guidance helping him along the writing of the message as well. He was writing his letter to God, pouring himself out and saying, if I punch the last key on the last chapter and pass from this life, let me hear, well done. Letter to God follows a shorter book that Marvin wrote in 2017 entitled Days Gone By, a collection of humorous short stories based on true-to-life experiences with spiritual overtones. He once wore the uniform of a United States Army officer, Medical Corps, which he's proud of the uniform and being a single parent that he had the privilege to raise the three beautiful children. He feels blessed and proud while he was able to do that and continues to as well, and also able to grasp on what love means. And because he feels confident that, you know, when he takes his last breath, he's going to hear, well done. It's a beautiful story, and the fact that he's sharing this with us and opening himself up in the memoir and here on CU TV News Radio, we're so honored, actually, and blessed to have him with us. Let's welcome Dr. Marvin Faulkner to the show so we can really get into a really good, solid conversation about all of the incredible things that he's doing. Dr. Faulkner, thank you very much for joining us. It really is an honor to have you with us here on the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Jim, for having me. I appreciate it very much.
Oh, it is our pleasure. And thanks, of course, for all of your medical as well as military service for our country. And we, you know, it really is an amazing story that you're sharing with us. And going back a little bit in time, the events, of course, that you've experienced in your life, not only the personal events that we're talking about, but also just, again, what you, witnessed being a physician and working with people and hearing the stories of people's lives and doing what you can to heal and bring them back to health and sometimes, walking them through the passages of life. All of this is a culmination that has brought you to this memoir, right?
Well, yes, Jim, of course, that and more. I wanted to express through Letter to God a message, a very strong message. Most commoners, Jim, I feel that way about myself. I'm a common man from a common background. My father was an electrician, mother a beautician, a lot of railroad people in the family, mostly blue collar. That was my background, and so kind of broke out of that being a physician. But to write the book and have it be just about me, that's not what I wanted. I mean, it was the message. And the message of the book was to really try and help people get a grip on the fact that despite their lack of so-called fame and fortune by world standards, that they are, in fact, of importance and value. And I wanted to give them an opportunity to be validated, Jim, which is, as you know, very, very important. Many of us don't feel that on a daily basis.
That is really, really true. And oftentimes we become lost and resentful and bitter and stuck and frustrated and all those different things that people end up dealing with. And again, your story is a hopeful one too and has a real positive message. What was that writing process like for you when you were beginning those first words on the page for Letter to God? Did it take time to get going, or were you so filled and spirited that it was pouring out of you?
No, Jim, I actually felt that there was a real need for me to get a grip on my own personal darkness. I decided outside of my job to basically seclude myself for a couple of years, and I laid out various newspaper articles, letters, different things that I had collected over the years, things from my childhood that I had memories, and brought it all the way through to the present time. I just kind of laid all that out, and I would come in every evening, and I would look for evidence in my life of God in my life, because I was beginning to wonder in a sort of a darkened spirit that there was an absence and a feeling of abandonment on my own part. So as I began to come in and meditate and look at these items, I began to pick out more often every week, every month. It's like, wait a minute, there he was. Wait a minute, there he is. And the next thing you know, Jim, I was writing. I just started writing. And for a time while I was writing, I was like thinking, am I writing this alone or with help from a higher power? And so, you know, but by the time that I was getting halfway through this, I realized that a very, very powerful thing was happening. But that's how it all started, Jim. That's how it all started, with just a real effort on my part to try and understand and find peace between myself and a higher power.
It's really, really powerful and inspirational. I mean, you have a very interesting perspective on specifically pain, too, and all kinds of pain, emotional, physical, spiritual, having explored it, especially in the physical dimension as a physician, and then exploring it in your psychological and emotional dimension as well. And sometimes, you know, oftentimes we're feeling all of those things at the same time. And the physical is also creating the emotional, and the emotional is creating the physical pain. But, of course, there is the spiritual pain that is one to really understand as well. There must be a holistic approach to pain, I guess, and a way of navigating it that's dignified and kind of confirms how worthy you are of the life that you live, right?
You know, Jim, it's been 32 years now that I have been a physician. The first decade I spent mostly in anesthesiology, but since I converted over to pain, I have walked from room to room to room. I've seen thousands of patients by this time. And each time that I walk into the room, I'm there for the purpose of alleviating physical pain. But it is not long before I realize there is the weight of the emotional and psychological aspects that also are accompanying and running side by side with this physical pain. And I began to understand that in order for me to treat these patients well and to do right by them, that I was going to have to delve into all areas. And I'm going to give you just one example. I could give thousands. We don't have the time. But about a month ago, a patient was sitting in the office with me. And she said, you know, Dr. Faulkner, 2 years ago, you changed my life. And I said, well, you mean, you know, the procedures I performed and the medication to help you be more functional and a little higher level of daily living. And no, those are all important, Dr. Faulkner. But 2 years ago, you probably don't even remember. But you took your stool you were sitting on and you scooted over closer to me. And you said, look at me. look in my eyes. And I did, and you said, I care about you. I love you, and I care. And she said, I was so just stricken by that. I hadn't heard that in so long, I couldn't even remember the last time I had heard it. And I want you to know that from that day forward, my life has never been the same. And so, Jim, I can only say that I know I've not seen yet, no matter what the issue is, I've not seen yet where love doesn't make a difference.
Absolutely.
You know, the spiritual aspect of it is that pain and suffering, it's something we naturally run from. We don't want this, Jim. We don't want these things. I mean, don't get up and aspire for bad things to happen, you know. But they do. They come with life's journey. And so I will say that pain and suffering will do this. It will strip one of vanity, ego, and pride. It will tend to reduce narcissistic tendencies, and therefore it will allow one to become empty, and in doing so, more useful to God and a higher power, because now this empty vessel can be filled up spiritually and with love. And Jim, if we have nothing else to offer, when we offer love, we have offered, in fact, everything.
That's so very true. Exactly right. It still stands true to this day. You know, I'm also struck by the story that you were a Golden Gloves fighter. So you faced physical adversity as well. Then later in life with your family, the true emotional adversity, you've been, you know, in some dark places, I'm sure, as well through it all.
Very dark, Jim. I mean, if I wasn't going to be honest, which I was in the book, there would have been no point in writing it, because I did lay things out, and I certainly didn't leave a lot out about myself. But very dark places, and sometimes so dark, Jim, that I could barely see any evidence of light at all. And that's the times when I thought, you know, really, I had a sense of abandonment, you know, that, well, why me, God? I mean, you know, you're not even here. You don't care. I mean, why is all this happening? Yet I would go into the rooms with patients and realize, well, their story, you know, they had more to complain about than I did. But I can say this, that I was looking at it from the perspective that there were only one set of footprints in the sand, and they belonged to me. I was carrying this load by myself. But through the efforts that I've already alluded to in writing letter to God, I was able to understand, just like what we've heard, but it really came to reality, it came into a sense of reality to me, that those footprints, in fact, did belong to God. And he was, in fact, carrying.
Really, you know, deep stuff, and the fact that you're sharing it so eloquently is really important, because there might be people listening right now who are going through some pretty dark spots in their life, and they feel lost, and maybe there's a loss that they've just recently suffered, or they're just, maybe there's a physical situation they're dealing with, or emotional, or both. You know, we all have this void inside us, and we try to fill it with anything we can. Sometimes we, obviously, there's a lot of people involved in addiction and numbing, but it doesn't really necessarily treat the cause, just sort of numbs the symptom. The only thing that I guess doesn't leak out sometimes is this spirituality or God. And when you put yourself out there like that, it's almost like you're, I guess, sort of, an analogy would be opening up the gas tank for God to sort of literally fill you up, right? especially when you're empty.
Well, that's what really is being asked of us, is to empty ourselves out so that we can be of value. It's ironic, but when we have pride, ego, and vanity, we're really not of any use except to ourselves. But when we're able to shed those, which agony and pain and suffering will actually do. I mean, now this empty vessel, you know, you have choices. We're free moral agents, so you can, the choice is simple, Jim, is, oh, I'm going to be filled with bitterness and anger and resentment and remorse, regret, or I'm going to allow love to come in. But I can tell you that when you make that second choice, you allow love to come in. You get up every day and say, if I can do nothing else, I will share love today. A patient yesterday cried, wept in my office for approximately 15 minutes, going on 20, just recounting her whole life of just how horrible everything had been. And how I was able to reverse that situation, how I was able to get her to settle back down and listen, was to allow her to know that I understood, that I had experienced similar things, maybe not exactly the same thing, but very, very similar. In fact, it was very close. And she discussed the loss of her husband and son, as well as her physical pain. But because I could relate and give back what? Love. I returned love to her. She left the office in a much different state. So if we invite God to come in and just say, look, no matter what, when I lay myself down for my last breaths, I'm going to leave love behind. I'm going to let love fuel me, to carry me to love everlasting, no more peace, no more sorrow, no more pain and suffering. That's what I'm going to leave behind and take with me. Because, Jim, we're not taking anything else. Just
not. That's right. Nothing else. Right. We come in empty-handed and we leave, you know, empty-handed. And that's why it's the maximization of love and feeling love and sharing love that is so important, and love of each other, love of self, love of God. So much of what you're talking about is an essential component of really connecting spirituality, which is the way we must sort of transcend our ego. And I imagine, you know, being a fighter as well, you've had to have this great belief in yourself. And when you win a fight, everyone cheers and everyone tells you, you know, of course, how great you are. But to truly master yourself emotionally, physically, spiritually as well, you know, at deeper levels than just the fanfare that you get from outside influences, you have to kind of get rid of all of that, right?
Well, you know, Jim, everybody loves a winner in this world. There's not much use for what the world refers to as losers. And so, of course, it was nice to receive a trophy. Of course, it was nice to receive a medal or have some people applaud and say, well, at 32 years of age, you fought against those 10 years younger, having not done it before, and in the end came through as a Golden Glove champion. Simply, also what's brought out in the book, that because I was trying to prove something to myself that I had asked my parents to allow me to do over a decade earlier. But in the independent film that I wrote the screenplay for, Between Heaven and Hell, I had a scene in there with my son, and he said, why did you fight, Dad? And I said, well, at first it was about the winning, but later it became more than that. And I learned more from the losses. And I did, Jim. I learned a lot more from the losses. That way, because of the losses, I became a very gracious winner. I didn't want to hurt anyone. I only wanted to win the fight. The thing was, I did lay down my ego. And even a better example of this is Hal Moore. Mel Gibson, made this movie, We Were Soldiers, about then Colonel Hal Moore, who ended up being a general. And he gave the example that his boots were first to hit the battlefield and they would be the last to leave. And he would leave no one behind. His soldiers loved him for that. And they fought by his side. He fought by their side. And it was because he laid down his ego, Jim. He laid down vanity. He laid it all down. And not knowing whether he would live or die either, but he did know that he loved his men. And because he loved them, they loved him in return.
That's right. And that works in all aspects of life and all relationships. We come to realize that we were placed here to work together, to collaborate, to love one another, to be together and not to be separated. And, because we are living in a society where a lot of us are going in total opposite directions. We could do a whole other show on that, but that we were placed here for the purpose of being together and celebrating and loving one another. You mentioned We Were Soldiers, one of my favorite songs, actually, instrumentally and vocally, Mansions of the Lord, wonderful song that was, matter of fact, they used that for the funeral procession of Ronald Reagan's funeral at the end. Really, really touching, very beautiful. That came from that Mel Gibson movie you referenced. What would you say is the line between writing a book, for really a cathartic experience, therapeutic experience, and writing something that also can touch someone else and move them and inspire them to not only change, but also appreciate life more deeply, as well as love more deeply? Not only give love, but also have the ability, because sometimes it's hard for people, to accept love as well.
In my opinion, Jim, it comes down to motive. If the book is all about self, I, me, then it is what it is. And it goes really no farther than that. It comes down to motive, which is followed by message. I did lay down the foundation of my beginnings, childhood and growth, those chapters, but I went on to other subjects that apply to all of us. And the idea was that my story would be someone else's story, that their story would be my story. In fact, on my Facebook page, I invited people to write their own letter to God. I wasn't necessarily encouraging them to write a 300-page plus book, just a simple letter, whatever they could write, but to reach out and to try to invite God to take a deep look at them, and also in doing so, take a good look at themselves. So the goal for me was the same goal that I was asking for others. And that is to hear, when we take our last breath, well done. So it's motive followed by message. And it is the acceptance that this story is their story. Their story is my story. We all have a story to tell. And exactly what is it that makes our life valuable? Is it what the world is telling us? Or is it, in fact, what a higher power is telling us? That's the message, Jim.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And it's one to really pay heed to and to truly experience. An amazing story, and I cannot believe that the half hour is gone already. Again, we're talking with a double board certified anesthesiologist, pain management physician, as well as author, Dr. Marvin Faulkner, author of Letter to God, which was published just this past month in August of 2019, a story of struggling to stay in the light without letting darkness overcome us. To learn more, you can go to his website. That's www.marvinfaulkner.com, which is MarvinFaulkner.com. Dr. Faulkner, thanks so very much for being with us and sharing this incredibly positive and empowering, enlightening, and inspiring story of your life, your amazing accomplishments, your family, the things that you've been through in life that you're sharing with us as well, the message of love and deep hope and a connection to God and to one another, and of course for all of your service, as I mentioned at the top, in the military and as a medical professional. You were obviously placed here to serve, because everything you've done in your life and continue to do is of service, and that is well noted as well and appreciated. Hope we get a chance to explore some more, maybe share some passages from the book, things of that nature, because it was a real pleasure welcoming you and discussing all of this and sharing it with our audience on CUTV News Radio Live. Thanks so much for being with us, Marvin. We really appreciate it and hope you enjoyed it as much as I did.
I certainly did, and thank you so much, Jim, for having me on the program.
You are very, very welcome. It was a real honor and a pleasure, and I'm sure we'll chat again real soon. Again, Marvin Faulkner, author of Letter to God, a memoir of a common person, and I think we can all relate and maybe even find elements of ourselves in the book. Check out the website, marvinfaulkner.com, to learn more. For everybody here, the entire team, this is Jim Masters thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, we appreciate it. Stay tuned. We'll be back momentarily with another great guest from around the world sharing their stories with us here exclusively on CUTV News Radio Live. Till then, thanks for being with us for this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back soon and have a terrific day. Bye for now.
You've been listening to CUTV News Radio. If you want to learn more about our programming or perhaps be considered for a future show, visit us on the web at www.cutvnews.com. And if you enjoyed listening to today's show, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher and be sure to write a review. Thanks for listening, and from all of us at CUTV News Radio, we hope you have a productive and inspired day.